On the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
First, we have a very interesting set of cases that were discussed this week in the news. In fact, they both have to do with gun rights. First, the Supreme Court announced that it would adhere a challenge to concealed carry gun laws. And we're going to be talking about it. It deals with a law in New York that makes it very difficult for people to get concealed carry, and it looks like the Supreme Court's going to decide that. And second, the city of Chicago sued a Gary, Indiana gun dealership, alleging it's providing illegal guns that are responsible for crimes in Chicago. And with us to discuss these two cases and the future of gun regulations is one of our top experts in the nation, attorney David Siegel, who was co-counsel in one of the most important Supreme Court cases that established the rights of First Amendment. And David is on the line. Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Karen. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Let's talk first about the Supreme Court case. And if you could tell our listeners a little bit about the facts of the case and what you think the court might be deciding.
Sure. This is the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Corlett case. That's the name of it. Is really the latest case in an issue that's been percolating around the country for quite some time now. New York has a requirement that if you want a concealed carry permit, you have to first establish that you have quote-unquote proper cause for asking for it, and a generalized desire or wish to exercise your Second Amendment right to engage in self-defense is not proper cause. This requirement is the kind of the foundation of what is referred to among Second Amendment advocates, those who are watching this issue, as may issue states. There are certain, New York's not the only one that has this requirement. There's a number of states called may issue states where the ability to exercise that right to concealed carry is dependent on a local government official deciding that you have enough of a need to do it.
So, David, and, just sorry to interrupt, but so the issue is not like you have to go through a waiting period or you have to get certain training or take a test or anything. It's more like you just are not you are not eligible for concealed carry unless you prove something like you've had, like you're a private investigator or that you have just a heightened need, a very specialized need. Is that what we're talking about?
It is. It's got nothing to do with your qualifications or your training, none of that. It has to do with whether or not the government official making the decision decides that you really need it or not. And it's not, in many instances, it isn't, I work in this job in this neighborhood, for example, I have this heightened fear. It's so-and-so has said they're going to attack me, and I need to protect myself against this person. So it really is, in many instances, as specific as that. So not only if you just say, you know what, I'd like the ability to defend myself, that won't be good enough. And it's not, I'd like to defend myself because I carry money for my job, or I find myself in this area and I have this need for protection. None of that's good enough. So the courts have been all over the map, the lower courts, the federal appellate, I should say. They've kind of been all over the map on this issue. There's a lot of division, and the Supreme Court is finally now going to take this issue and weigh in on it.
We only have a minute before I have to break, but so we've had a decision back in 2008 that says that people have a right to a handgun in their home to defend their home, and that's established law. It's been in place for a while, and so now this next decision, am I getting this right, David, that the court will probably and may or probably decide, does a person have a Second Amendment right to have a gun in public to defend him or herself? And that, you know, the undue restrictions there that will be argued, you shouldn't have to prove that you have you're in danger or have a special need. Everybody, if this is a constitutional right, has a right to walk around with a gun. Is that pretty much what the decision is going to be about?
That is exactly the issue that's going to be presented to the court in this case.
When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this topic, and then I want to also touch on the issue of the Gary gun dealership, which was sued this week by the city of Chicago. And we're talking to David Siegel, who is an expert on Second Amendment rights. He's a lawyer here in Illinois. I'll give out his contact information when we come back. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN. Welcome back. We're talking gun rights with David Siegel, who's an expert. Let's finish up our conversation, David, about this Supreme Court case that is going to be heard. The fact that the Supreme Court takes a case is very unusual because, as we know, it's about 1% of all cases they decide to take. And given what you know about the Supreme Court having handled a case that went up there and knowing your gun right laws, what do you think the Supreme Court is going to do if you're a betting man?
Well, I think that there were two cases that presented this exact issue last term. There were 10 gun rights cases, and just for disclosure, I had two of them that were presented to the Supreme Court in its previous previous lineup, for lack of a better phrase, when Justice Ginsburg was still alive, and they turned down all 10 of them. Now Justice Ginsburg has passed away. Justice Coney Barrett is on the court, and they're taking up this case. It's no secret that there's a very vocal part of the court that has wanted to take on a Second Amendment case, has complained that the court has ignored Second Amendment rights. And Justice Coney Barrett wrote an opinion when she was on the Seventh Circuit and very much in favor of Second Amendment rights. So I cannot, obviously I can't play crystal ball or anything like that, but the fact that this court has this new makeup and they're immediately taking on this case that they passed on just last year, I would say there's some tea leaves that they might be looking more favorably upon this issue.
Yeah, and so
that, how yeah, that plays out, I can't say.
Sure.
But
I mean, if I were a betting person, I'd say they took the case because they do want to handle the issue and that they're going to say that the Second Amendment doesn't only apply in your home. It applies when you're walking around outside. And it's dangerous these days walking around outside as it is in your home, maybe more so, probably more so. And that there's going to be an opening up of the laws for concealed carry. That's my prediction. I'm not giving an opinion on whether I think that's good or bad. I'm just saying I think that's what might happen. You know, you just emailed me before the show, David, and I didn't know this, but this week you said downstate a judge just declared FOID cards unconstitutional. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I didn't catch that news story.
Yeah, actually, I emailed about that too during the commercial break.
Okay.
So glad you saw it. There's the case of Vivian Brown. She got charged with having a bolt action rifle in her home without a FOID card back in 2017. The court threw the case out and declared that the FOID card, the to exercise your right, being forced to get a license and pay a fee, was unconstitutional. The matter went up to the Illinois Supreme Court back in 2019, and they, on technical reasons, they kicked it back down to White County downstate to that court. This week, the judge in White County, a different judge sitting in that court, again ruled that the FOID card is unconstitutional, that requiring someone to pay a fee, get a license to exercise that right, especially in one's home, is an unconstitutional infringement. I would suspect the state's going to want to appeal that to the Illinois Supreme Court again. I'm reading tea leaves, and I don't have a crystal ball, but I would suspect they don't want to let that decision hang out there. And it's going to be a very interesting, I don't think that technical ground for kicking it back exists anymore. So I think that's going to be an interesting case to watch in this state.
Well, and you know, just to make
certainly
it,
a lot of legislators are too.
Yeah, and just to make it real simple here, you know, the question is going to be, does a Second Amendment right to have a gun mean that, you know, what restrictions can the government place on having a gun? Do you have to register it? Do you have to have training? Do you have to, you know, have waiting periods? And all of those things are coming at a time where I think people are buying guns in record numbers. And on the other hand, we have our government right now wanting to crack down and restrict gun laws because of the rash of shootings that we've had. And even in the last couple months, there have been, seems like, mass shootings every day. So it's an interesting time to be listening to these constitutional challenges when we have all this gun violence. Very, very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the case of the city of Chicago sued a gun dealership over the border in Gary, saying that essentially many, many guns, like hundreds of guns that are recovered in gun crimes, all were purchased at this particular gun dealership. And there's an allegation that straw dealers, people who go over there, buy the guns and then give them to their buddies who can't get guns, are engaging in this kind of conduct. And the allegations are that the gun dealership kind of knew about it and was doing it anyway. What can you just tell us a little bit, without getting real technical, into immunity for gun dealerships? But what is the law? When can a gun dealership be liable for selling guns to criminals?
In general, if they know or should know that the purchase isn't legitimate, that's going to be a factual question that is. I mean, in general, I think it's going to be hard to prove. I'm saying that as a generality. I'm not saying that based on this case, this West Forth Sports in Gary. I don't know them. I don't know anything about them until I saw the lawsuit. So I can't say whether or not this is a coincidence. The lawsuit specifically says that this is not bad luck or coincidence or location, but instead that they allege that this is something much more deliberate. I have no idea if that's true. The court will have to, or the jury or whoever will have to determine that. But basically, if they know or should know that they're selling crime guns or would be crime guns, then they can be held liable.
And, you know, again, it's all fact-driven. I mean, we don't know the facts of the case, and allegations are allegations. But, you know, let's talk about the straw buyers. And we know that does happen when people can't get a gun themselves. They may send a girlfriend or a friend to the gun shop, and then the gun gets used in a crime. But the straw dealers, the straw buyers, can be in serious trouble themselves, can't they? And are they prosecuted on a regular basis?
I can't say whether or not, you know, about regular basis, but yes, they certainly are. It's a felony to be a straw purchaser. It is the level of the felony, the severity of the felony, and thus the criminal penalty goes up with how many times you've been caught doing it and how many firearms you've straw purchased. And it absolutely is a crime, and I would hope that such things are prosecuted vigorously. It certainly is as this lawsuit alleges. It's a major factor in how illegal guns make their way into criminal hands. And if law enforcement knows about it, I would certainly hope they're trying to do something about it. Whether or not going after the dealer is going to solve the problem, that I can't say, but certainly the person doing the straw purchasing should face those consequences.
You know, I assume that you're a gun advocate, and you know what I do on this show, David, is I try not to give opinions about these things. I try to explain the law, explain, you know, what is going on in the courts and what the courts might be deciding. But these things are all kind of tempered by your thoughts about guns. And as I mentioned before, we have seen literally it's, you know, mass shooting de jour. I think Green Bay had one yesterday and, you know, and on and on. But you, as a gun advocate, and I would say you're a gun advocate, you advocate for Second Amendment rights. Where do you think, as a lawyer, the line should be drawn about how easy it should be for a person to get a gun? What kinds of restrictions do most gun, you know, what you think right-thinking gun advocates say should be in place in order to have and carry a gun?
Well, nobody is challenging, say, the requirements in Illinois about the training that's required, say, for a concealed carry permit. You have to undergo 16 hours of training, including range training. You have to undergo background checks. You undergo repeated background checks. If you have a FOID card, which, you know, we talked about it, we'll see what happens with the FOID card. But as of right now, one undergoes multiple background checks if you have a card. And the fact is, you know, it's one of those situations where you read about, you know, something terrible that happens. And it's one of those things where everything is already illegal. There is everything that transpires in that event is already an illegal act. So, you know, if you're and the people, you know, they sometimes they pass a federal background check, and sometimes they lie on a federal background check, but sometimes they, you know, they just pass it. I think that since all the acts that actually cause harm to people are already illegal, I'd say it's one of those things where, you know, what are, you know, we can pass law after law after law, and that seems to be the reaction to everything. Pass another law, and yet, you know, if there is a bad person, and unfortunately, I mean, there's, what, 330 million people in this country, and, you know, there are some bad people, and they do bad things, and those bad things make the news, and everyone talks about them, and as they should.
David, thank you.
If there was a way to...
Go ahead.
If there is a way to better figure out how to keep the firearms out of the hands of those who are mentally ill or those who are criminals, such as cracking down on straw purchasers, if someone knows they're doing it and they're doing it anyway, I think that is very much a step in the right direction.
David, can you quickly give out your contact information?
Yeah, by all means. You can reach me at Siegel. You can find out about you. Look me up at SiegelLaw.com. That's SIGALELAW.com. And I can be reached at area code 630-452-4547.
Thank you for joining me. We got to take a break, and we'll come back. We'll be talking more First Amendment constitutional talk on the Karen Conti Show.